From today onwards, we're going to start a new sermon series on Ephesians.
以弗所书的主题就是讲基督的教会。
The theme of Ephesians is about the Church of Christ.
讲到基督教会的奥秘。
To talk about the mystery of the Church of Christ.
教会的观念在旧约是没有的。
The concept of church does not exist in the Old Testament.
这个词在旧约出现过，是指这个神的选民的聚集。
And the term that appears is talking about the gathering of God's people.
但是在旧约的聚集只是犹太人的聚集。
But yet in the Old Testament, the only gathering was the Israelites.
教会这个概念，教会这个奥秘是借着保罗启示出来的。
And the mystery of the church was revealed by the Apostle Paul.
这个奥秘就在于说，不光是犹太人哦，犹太人、外邦人，所有神所拣选的这些人都要在教会里面成为一体。
And the mystery is that this gathering is not just Israelites, but all the Gentiles that we gather under His name.
所以这次我们读以弗所书的时候，我们会仔仔细细的，一起来思考，一起来再次的领会神在教会当中的美好的心意。
So today, from this time forward, we will try to study the book carefully so that we will understand the will of God in His church.
到今年的9月份，我们教会就成立5周年了。
In September this year, we'll be having our 5th anniversary.
在过去的5年当中，真的是神的恩典在我们的当中。
In the past 5 years, indeed, God's grace has been with us.
是一个打基础的阶段。It's
a period of laying the foundation.
靠着神的恩典，靠着众同工同心合一的摆上，我们这个马里兰福音教会算是立稳了脚跟了。Through
God's grace and also through the hard work of the co-workers and congregation, that we have laid a firm foundation.
5 years
are almost gone.
特别是今年这个5月份宣布这个疫情这个紧急的状态结束了。And
also in May that the pandemic has been declared as over.
我们教会开始进入到一个新的阶段了。Our
church has entered into a new period.
在已经打好的这个基础之上，怎么样的在上面继续的建造呢？
How do we continue to build on this firm foundation that we have laid?
所以在这个时期呢，我们就是花一点时间，有十几周的时间呢，回到神的话，特别是以弗所书的话语当中，去学习建造教会的真理。So
we will be spending more than 10 weeks and to go back to Ephesians to learn about the truths of the church.
刚才我们读的这一段经文是把神的旨意，对于教会的旨意，神子民的旨意的。 所有在以弗所书中出现的经文都读了。And
here, in the passage we have read about all the passages that about God's will on the church in Ephesians.
神的旨意是神要成就的事情。God's
will is what God wants to accomplish.
而且这个旨意这个词有一个神很喜悦，神很愿意，神看到这样的事情发生，他会很高兴，这个意思在里面。
And also the meaning of the will of God also has this connotation that God is pleased, God is willing and to accomplish it.
我们看以弗所书里面这些关于神的旨意的经文，我们大概可以总结出这几点。We
can summarize it into a few points as we look in the book of Ephesians.
第一个，神的旨意是一个奥秘。First,
God's will is a mystery.
谁能想到保罗这个人，他会成为神家里的教会里的使徒呢？
Who can ever think that Paul will become a member of God's church?
在这件事情发生之前，没有一个人想到。Before
it happened, nobody could have thought of it.
连他自己都没想到。Even
he himself.
他刚出来做基督徒的时候，大家都不相信他能够成为基督徒。When
he first became a Christian, nobody believed that he was a Christian.
神的旨意在没有显明，在没有揭开那个盖儿之前，是一个奥秘，大家不明白的。
So before God's mystery was revealed, it was a mystery.
所以通篇以弗所书不断地讲福音的奥秘。So
the entire book of Ephesians is talking about God's mystery.
基督的奥秘。The
mystery of Christ.
教会的奥秘。The
mystery of the church.
讲到婚姻的时候也讲说这是极大的奥秘。And
talk about marriage is also a mystery.
什么是奥秘？
What is a mystery?
奥秘就是以前没有讲出来的事情。It's
something that has not been revealed before.
光读旧约读不出来的。
If you just read the Old Testament, you couldn't figure it out.
后面神借着他的使徒，借着他的先知，今天是借着圣经，把这个盖儿掀开了，看到里面到底是什么。And
now through the apostles and now through the Bible, then that mystery has been revealed.
所以神的奥秘在没有讲出之前是一个不容易了解的事情。
So mystery is something before it is explained, it's not something that easy.
人想象不到，人也猜不出来的事情。
Man cannot anticipate.
但神的旨意是可以明白的。
But yet God's mystery can be understood.
只要神讲，神启示，神光照，我们就可以明白了。
If God will enlighten and reveal, then we can understand.
那个扫罗成为保罗之前，他遇到大马士革路上遇到神的时候，他就明白了。
When Saul met God on the road to Damascus.He understood.
以前不知道基督的奥秘。
Before he didn't understand the mystery of Christ,
神亲自对他讲话。
God himself personally talked to him.
介绍，自我介绍给保罗。
Self-introduced to him.
把他外面的眼睛先关闭掉。
And first closing his external eyes.
让他心里的眼睛先去明白神的旨意。
So that his inner eyes can understand God's will.
当他信主之后在圣殿里祷告。
And then when he was praying in the temple after he accepted Christ,
祷告的时候圣灵就开始对保罗心讲话了。
And then when he was praying, the Spirit talked to him.
要拣选他做外邦人的使徒。
To choose him to become the apostle of the Gentiles.
这些以前都是奥秘，神的旨意他不明白的。
And before, it was all a mystery and he could not understand.
但现在神讲了，他就可以明白了。
But now God explained and he understood.
所以保罗是一个知道神旨意的人。
So Paul was someone who understood God's will.
因为他领受神的启示了。
Because he received God's revelation.
神对他讲话了。
God spoke to him.
他在安提阿服事的时候，众同工们在一起祷告的时候，圣灵直接讲话了。
When he and others serving in Antioch, then the Holy Spirit revealed to them.
他就知道他下一步要做什么了。
He knew what he has to do next.
他要跟巴拿巴一起出去宣教。
He had to go out to missions with Barnabas.
要在没有教会的地方建立教会。
To build churches where there were none.
所以保罗在写以弗所书一开始奉神旨意。
And so in the beginning of Ephesians he says, by the will of God.
因为他是明白神旨意的人。
Because he is someone who understood God's will.
那我们不仅要像保罗这样能够明白神的旨意，而且这是一定要做的事情。
We can and we must understand the will of God.
我们刚才读到五章第十七节了。
We've read 5:17.
不要做愚昧人。
Do not be foolish.
要明白神的旨意。
We have to understand the will of God.
要明白神的旨意哦。
You have to understand the will of God.
神已经讲出这部分，我们一定要知道哦。
God has already spoken. We have to know.
已经向我们启示，已经光照这些已经变成明显的事情，我们一定要先把握住。
We have to hold on to those things that have been revealed and enlightened.
否则，在神的眼中。就被看为是愚昧的人了。
Otherwise, we'll be looked as foolish in front of God.
那再有一点就是，我们明白神的旨意的目的是什么？是为了遵行神的旨意。
The purpose of knowing the will of God is to obey it.
我们能不能够明白神的旨意，其实主要的责任是在神。
Whether we can understand the will of God, actually, the main responsibility falls on God.
神如果不讲，我们不明白。
If God doesn't say it, then we don't understand it.
所以神要负责给我们启示出来，讲出来。
God is responsible for telling it and explaining it.
他主动向保罗讲话哦。
He proactively talked to Paul.
他差派圣灵在保罗的心中向他启示哦。
He sent the Holy Spirit in Paul's heart to reveal.
这都是神的责任。
That is God's responsibility.
他使用教会中的同工一起来 confirm， 是的，是保罗和巴拿巴，你们要出去做这件事情。
And then he used the co-workers in the church to confirm that Paul and Barnabas should be sent.
所以在神的旨意这件事情上，神负责启示，那我们的责任是什么
？If God's responsibility is to reveal it, what is our responsibility?
我们的责任就是遵行。
Our responsibility is to obey.
我们是要读圣经，是要明白圣经，但这一部分哈，神会负责帮助我们，一定会明白的哈。但是我们的关键，我们的重点要放在哪里呢？就是你明白那一部分，你知道那一部分，就要去遵行。
We have to read the Bible and study the Bible, and God will make us understand it. And then our main responsibility is to obey it.
我们刚刚读完马可福音
，We just finished the Gospel of Mark.
大家还记得这个马可福音当中彼得的例子吗
？Do you remember the example of Peter?
耶稣第一次讲我要上十字架，那是启示啊，之前他都不知道的，大家都不知道。
And the first time Jesus explained to him that he is going to go on the cross and nobody understood it.
耶稣负责向这一批门徒讲清楚下一步要做什么了。
Jesus was responsible for telling the disciples what he's going to do next.
我要去耶路撒冷。
I'm going to go to Jerusalem.
在那里要被害。
And I'm going to be sacrificed.
但是三天以后我要从死里复活。
But 3 days later I'll be resurrected.
彼得明不明白？
Did Peter understand?
他听明白了。
didn't understand.
第一次就听明白了。
The first time he did not.
但是问题说他听到耶稣要做什么，他却不接受。
But yet, when he heard it, he didn't accept it.
而且出来抵挡。
And he actually opposed.
出来拦阻耶稣。
To stop Jesus.
你不能上十字架，不能上耶路撒冷被钉十字架。
You cannot go to Jerusalem and be put on the cross.
所以耶稣责备他，不是说他不明白责备他。
And Jesus rebuked him not because he didn't understand.
而是说他不体贴神的意思，他明白神的意思，却不体贴神的意思，不把神的意思变成自己的意思，这是彼得被责备的地方。
And Peter was rebuked because he didn't follow the will of God, and he actually followed the will of men.
所以当我们这一次花十几周的时间去读以弗所书的时候，很多神的旨意会再次的显明在你我的面前。
As we spend the next 10 more weeks on Ephesians, there will be many things about the will of God that will be manifested in front of us.
求神帮助我们啊，在听的时候，在领受的时候，是有一个要遵行神旨意的这样一个心，这样一个祷告在神的面前。
May God help us that as we listen, that we have this heart to obey.
当我们明白神建造地上的教会的这些的原则、这些真理以后呢，我们就要去照着去行，用这些的真理来在我们马里兰福音教会当中去建造一个令神喜悦、合神心意的教会。
As we understand the truths about building the church that we MGC have to follow, so that it will be a church that will be pleasing to Him.
奉神旨意啊，这是保罗开篇就讲的话。
By the will of God is what Paul began his letter.
那这两句话当中，我们看三点。
There are three things that we're going to pay attention.
第一个，保罗在做自我介绍。
First, Paul is doing a self-introduction.
他是奉神旨意做基督耶稣的使徒的。
By the will of God, he is an apostle of Christ Jesus.
第二个我们看呢，他是奉神的旨意写信给以弗所的教会的。
Second, by the will of God, he is writing to the saints in Ephesus.
第三个我们看，他写信的目的是什么呢？是要把从神而来的恩惠和平安赐给人。
And then thirdly, by the will of God, he's going to bring grace and peace to the church in Ephesus.
所以开篇哈，他就讲说，奉神旨意做基督耶稣使徒的保罗。
So in the very beginning, he said, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God."
你看英文的顺序跟中文的顺序正好颠倒过来。
The English actually has a slightly different order than the Chinese.
英文是讲保罗做耶稣基督使徒的，那这件事情呢是出于神的旨意，是奉神的旨意的。
In English, it says, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, he's being that by the will of God."
这个原文的顺序在希腊文当中两个地方，你可以看出一句话的重点在哪里，要么是在开头，要么是在结尾。
And you can see the emphasis, it can be either in the beginning or the latter part of a sentence.
所以中文这个翻译啊，就把这个意思翻译出来了哈。最重要的这一个短语当中是什么？是奉神旨意。
And so in Chinese, is revealing the emphasis is really by the will of God.
保罗能够从扫罗变成这个保罗，是因为神的旨意。
Paul can turn from Saul into Paul is by the will of God.
从一个不认识神甚至抵挡神逼迫神的教会的扫罗，变成了一个跟随神做主的门徒使徒，甚至是接受特别托付的一个保罗，这完全是出于神的旨意。
It is entirely the will of God that Paul, starting from an unbeliever, even one who persecuted the church, to turn into an apostle, and even a special apostle that has a special position from God.
保罗没有自我推荐成为使徒哦。
He was not recommended as an apostle.
如果让当时的其他的使徒一起投票，教会一起来投票选的话，也不会选出保罗来。
If people are going to do nominations and by voting from the existing believers, he will not be an apostle.
然而呢，他却蒙了神的拣选啊。如今他因为做使徒被关在罗马的监牢当中，他就在这里写信给以弗所的教会。
And yet, he was chosen by God, and now he's in prison in Rome, and he's writing to the Ephesians.
当然，保罗使徒的身份是得到教会和其他的同工的认定的哈 ，confirmed.
And of course, his status as an apostle was confirmed by the church.
慢慢借着保罗所讲的话所做的事，周围的人教会都认出他领受的是神而来的启示。
through the things that he said and the things that he has done, then people recognize that he is someone who received God's revelation.
通过他忠心的服事，他所结出的好果子，教会认出他是神所拣选的使徒。
Through his faithful service and the good fruit that he bore, the church recognized that he is chosen by God.
而且圣灵不断地给他的讲话，给他的做事的当中，加上他明显的印证。
And also the Holy Spirit has been confirming him through the things that he said and done.
所以保罗他自己也跟以弗所教会的讲说，你们读了我的信，你就知道，啊，我是明白神的启示的，我是有神的印记的。
And so he also said that as you read my letters, you recognize that I have God's revelation.
就在以弗所书第三章的时候，他就对以弗所教会的人讲说，量力你们曾听见神赐恩给我，将关切你们的职分交托我，用启示使我知道福音的奥秘，正如我以前略略写过的。
And then in Ephesians 3, he says, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelations that I have already written briefly.
你们念了就能晓得我深知基督的奥秘，这奥秘在以前的世代没有叫人知道，像如今借着圣灵启示他的圣使徒和先知一样。
In reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets.
这是我们从保罗的身上，我们看到神建立教会，在地上开始教会、建造教会的第一个很重要的原则。
And we, from Paul, we can see the first principle of God how establish the church on earth.
主用什么样的方式建造他的教会呢？是用选召使徒、先知、教会领袖，然后在他们的基础上来建造教会，是用这种方式。
The way that God used to establish the church is to choose apostles and prophets as the laying down the foundation for the church.
他呼召一批人。
He called a bunch of people.
他们也主也训练这一批人。
God has also trained them.
保罗是经过十几年。神亲自的教导和训练之后，才出来承担使徒的责任的。
After more than 10 years of being trained by God, then Paul came out to lead the congregations.
借着圣经是怎么来的啊？使徒先知的教训。
And where does the Bible come from? It's really from the teachings.
先把这个器皿选出来，塑造好以后，借着这个器皿，把神的话语、把神的恩典带进来。
After first you choose a vessel, and then you fill it with God's words, and then that will bring out the revelations.
旧约神是这样做事的，新约神也是这样做事的。
God did it in the Old Testament age.
神要做一件事情，他要选好、塑造好一个合适的器皿。
God wants to do something, He's going to choose the appropriate vessel.
就像在以弗所书里面后面讲到的哈，他所赐的有使徒、有先知、有传福音的、有牧师和教师，为要成全圣徒，各尽其职。建立基督的身体。
So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up.
把这些有恩赐的这些的同工赐给教会。
To give these co-workers who are filled with God's gift to the church.
使徒是做开创性工作的人。
Apostle is someone who's going to do something that is brand new.
把神的启示在教会当中这个教导清楚带出来，然后打好那个根基的人。
To bring out God's revelation and lay the foundation.
先知是替神讲话的人。
Prophet is someone who speaks for God.
像新约的作者哈，像路加呀，像这个犹大呀，像这个雅各哈，他们都不是神所特别拣选有那个使徒的 title 的人，但是他们替神讲话，他们是先知。
But then, like the examples in the New Testament, such as Luke and James, and they are not necessarily have a title of an apostle, but yet they are speaking for God.
保罗和其他十二位后来补上的这个马提亚都在内哈，这几位是神特别拣选出来做使徒的。
And then Paul and the other 12 are chosen as apostles.
神就借着他们把神的心意带出来。
God used them to reveal God's will.
各地的教会要恒心遵守使徒的教训
，so that all churches would obey God's words，
在真理的基础上来建造属神的教会
，and build the church upon the foundation of truth。
所以，使徒和先知又被称为教会的根基。
And so the prophets and apostles has been set as the church's foundation.
是指神借着他们所启示出来的圣经的真理。
It's talk about the truths that have been revealed through them.
所以今天我们一定要看重使徒的位分。
So today we need to emphasize on the status of an apostle.
我们要意识到我们不再需要新的使徒了。
We don't need new apostles.
神已经把保罗作为外邦人的使徒都已经赐给我们了。
God has chosen Paul as the apostle of the Gentiles and given to us.
为什么神特别安排把保罗放在监狱当中？
Why did God put Paul in prison?
让他能够写出 这一封一封的书信给各地的教会。
So that he can write all these different letters to different churches.
就是因为神不光是要借着保罗去服侍那一个时代的教会，那些具体的教会，也借着他来服侍历世历代的教会。
So that Paul can serve not just the church at that time, but also the churches in all generations.
我们今天读到以弗所书，和当时的人读到以弗所书，有一点是一样，我们都没有看到保罗本人。
So as we read the book of Ephesians, like the churches back then, we didn't see Paul personally.
所以今天的教会和历史历代的教会一样，都像当时的以弗所教会一样，一同来领受神借着保罗所启示的这些关于教会的真理和奥秘。
So today, like the church in Ephesus, we are receiving that truth about the church.
无论是以弗所教会、老底嘉教会，还是今天的讲英文的、讲中文的教会，我们都是同读一本圣经。
And doesn't matter whether the church in Ephesus, in Laodicea.Or English church, Chinese church, we receiving the same truths.
可以借着这里面所启示出来的真理，我们领受教会同样的 DNA.
So that we can receive the same DNA about the church.
那我们生命的表现样式会不同，因为是在不同的时代、不同的地方、不同的文化当中来表达这里面哈同样的真理，这个 DNA 所要表达出来的那个教会当有的样式来。
We may live in different times and different cultures, but yet we have the same DNA that we need to reveal.
所以我们就要问了啊，神把我们马里兰福音教会放在大华府这个地区，在这个21世纪这个时代，神到底要借着我们做什么样的工作呢？
What is God going to do by putting MGC in this greater Washington area in the 21st century?
历代都不改变的教会的真理，如何借着我们这样一个具体的教会的样式，具体的时间，具体的地点，具体的这个文化的环境，能够表达出来呢？
And how is God going to use us to reveal the truths through the specific circumstances and specific generation and location?
十几年前，当我在这个大学城里面服侍的时候，我们是用这样一幅图画给大家来告诉当时的教会的地位是什么。
More than 10 years ago, as I was serving in a college town, this is the picture that I used to talk about our mission.
我们在大学城的时候是服侍在大学城里的学生、学者、和他们的家人。
In that time, in the college town, we were serving the students and the scholars and the families.
在那样一个具体的地方里面，学生学者过几年就换了一批、家人也是探亲来探亲走、很多人走过这个教会。
And in those locations, the students would change every few years, the families would come and visit and leave, so people change all the time.
所以当时我们就鼓励教会中的弟兄姐妹，弟兄姐妹，我们每个人都像蒲公英的种子一样。
And at that time, we encouraged everyone in the church that we are like the seeds of the dandelion.
从中国大陆来，台湾来，香港来，到这儿来留学，我们在这里认识了耶稣基督。
And all those people that came from mainland China, from Taiwan and Hong Kong, and came here and they know Jesus Christ.
里面有一个生命的新的生命哈，主耶稣基督里面新的生命，就像一个种子一样。
And we have this new life in us. It's like a seed.
毕业走的时候，就像这个风把我们吹到这个东岸，吹到西岸，有的吹回到这个中国大陆、台湾、香港哈，我们就要把这个生命的种子带到我们所去的地方，在那里生根发芽。
And so as we graduate, then we go to different locations, East Coast, West Coast, or back to China, or Taiwan, or Hong Kong, and we need to bring that seed of life to those locations and grow.
那我们呢？我们现在是在大华府地区，我们的定位应该是什么？
So what about us here in Greater Washington, D.C.?
我想来想去，我觉得我们 的教会的特点哈，我们这个一住就几年、十几年，甚至一辈子都住在这个地方，不走的啊。
And so as I think about us, we can stay here for more than 10 years or for the whole life.
但是很多人走过我们这个地区，对不对
？But yet many people pass through us.
我感觉我们的教会就好像是神把我们放在一个美国的十字路口的一个教会。
I feel that God is putting us in this crossroad.
包括我们的朋友、亲戚还有这个地方旅游。去嘛，很多人都会走过这个地方。
And many friends and relatives will come and visit and pass by.
特别是全国这个世界各地、全国各地的人都会到这里面来看风景。
And also even the entire country will come here to sightsee.
人走来走去，我们不动啊，就好像是站在十字路口，人却人来人往。
And so it's like many people passing by, and yet we stand right here in the intersection.
不光是人本身，包括各种各样的思想。各种各样的潮流哈，在这样一个美国首都这个地方会川流不息的。
And not just people, but also all kinds of thoughts and trends will pass by the capital of the U.S.
如果神把我们放在这样一个人来人往的十字路口上的话，我们当如何为主耶稣基督来做见证
？How should we bear testament for Him as we are being put into this busy intersection?
保罗写信给以弗所的教会。
Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus.
以弗所不是一个小地方。
Ephesus was not a small town.
今天去以弗所古城哈，你们大概会看到这样的情景。
You're going to see this if you go to visit Ephesus today.
各种各样的残垣断壁。
And all kinds of remains here you can see.
那这个路呢，其实都是蛮漂亮的，用大理石铺出来的。
Actually, it's a very beautiful road laid with marble.
哪怕是这一点点残留的痕迹，你可以想象到当初那个以弗所大城的那种的辉煌，那种的荣耀。
Even through this remnant, you can kind of imagine the glory of Ephesus back then.
这是以弗所你要去的话必去的地方哈，这个大露天大剧场啊，今天来比较来说，这都是很有规模的，能坐25,000人的一个大剧场。
And this is the amphitheater in Ephesus, and you have to go visit if you go there. And this is something that is, can contain 25,000 people.
当时的以弗所城不是小亚细亚的首都哈，但是当地是一个中心，是一个最大的城。
It is one of the metropolitan areas of Asia Minor back then.
很有名的，他们那个图书馆啊，以弗所的图书馆，你今天去，它门脸的那个柱子还立在那里。
And you can see the great library of Ephesus, and you can see the two pillars standing today.
而且当时人的那种世俗化、那种拜假神的那个传统，在以弗所是非常突出的。
And at that time, worshiping false idols was something that is very prominent back then.
这个雅典米的神庙啊，当时比雅典的神庙都要大。
And actually, the temple of Artemis in Ephesus was even bigger than the one in Athens.
所以人来人往，很多的人聚集在以弗所。
So many people gather and go pass by Ephesus back then.
保罗也是花了2年多的时间专门在以弗所，因为保罗在以弗所所建立的教会使整个这个地区都得到福音的好处。
And Paul spent more than 2 years in Ephesus, and because of this effort that the entire region benefited from it.
耶稣基督天地万物的主宰，他要借着他的使徒写一封信去以弗所，会写给谁呢
？And the creation.The creator of the heaven and earth, if he's going to use Paul to write a letter to the region, who is going to have written to?
不是那些有学问的人呢。
Not to those educated.
不是那些有权有势的人呢。
Or powerful.
不是在上面掌权的那些人，这些人都没有收到神写给他们的信呢。
And all those in authority, God didn't write a letter to them.
神要借着他的使徒专门写给一些当时那个社会上不是很起眼的、不被人关注的一小群的人。叫做以弗所教会的人。
And God is going to use him to write this group that is not very prominent, and that is the church in Ephesus.
在神的眼中，今天我们想象啊，在华盛顿这个地方，天天都发生很多的事情。
As we think about, there are many things that happen in Washington today.
很多所谓重要的人物在这里生活居住。
Many important people live here.
有很多很有钱有势的人。
Because many are powerful and rich.
但今天神写信会给谁呢？
But yet today, when God writes, who will He write to?
神讲话是在哪里讲话呢
？When God speaks, where does He speak?
是在他的教会里。
It's in His church.
保罗为什么要写信给他们？因为他关在监牢里，他出不来了。
Why did Paul write a letter to them? Because Paul was in prison, he couldn't go out.
他人被关起来了。
He was shut in.
但是呢，神的旨意不被关起来。
But yet God's will was not shut in.
神的旨意还要借着保罗要完成。
God will accomplish His will through Paul.
保罗也不想被关起来。
Paul didn't want to be in prison.
但是他知道一件事。
But he knew one thing.
即使他被关起来了。
Even though he was shut in.
他也依然可以成就神的旨意。
He can still accomplish the will of God.
就写信给以弗所教。
To write to the church in Ephesus.
因为他心里得到了启示。
Because he was, has revelation in his
heart. 他明白了神的教会的奥秘的真理。
He understood the mystery of the church of Christ.
所以要借着这一封书信要告诉以弗所的教会，而且借着以弗所教会哈，它就是一个循环的一封信，让那个小亚细亚的其他的教会一同领受神的奥秘。
And so he's going to write to the church in Ephesus and also to be circulated in the churches in Asia Minor.
还要告诉以弗所的教会，这教会啊是基督的身体。
He's going to tell the church in Ephesus that the church is Christ's body.
耶稣基督把他的身体舍了，是要换回一个新的身体。
Jesus sacrificed his body so that he can have a new body.
耶稣基督做了教会的头。
Jesus Christ is the head of the church.
你我做了教会的身体。
You and I will be the body of Christ.
让我们的手成为基督的手。
So that our hands will become the hand of Jesus.
神要去哪里，他就差派教会去到哪里。
Wherever God wants to go, He will send the church to go.
神要用你我的口要讲他要在这个世界上所要发表的信息。
God is going to use your mouth to preach His message.
而且这个身体呢是充满万有者所充满的地方。
And this body will fill wherever that God is going to go fill.
啊，不得了，这个。保罗也没有忘记他上诉啊，他关在这，他要向上面上诉的哈。
And Paul didn't forget that he has to appeal.
但他这些事情的个人这些事情的安排都没有影响到他替神去发表这些的真理。
But his personal affairs didn't interfere with the truths that he has to reveal for God.
其实以弗所教会跟哥林多教会跟加拉太教会都不大一样哈。写这封书的时候，你看到这个教会里面好像没有太多的问题。
And when you look at the church in Ephesus, it didn't seem to have that kind of problems that the church in Corinth or Galatia had.
保罗写这封信好像不是要具体的解决以弗所教会当中具体的问题。
He was not writing to solve some specific problems in the church in Ephesus.
而是好像他心里面有一团火，他有从神里领受的明白了教会是什么。教会在地上做什么？怎么建造教会这些真理？他就忍不住，他一定要写这封信的。
It's like he has this fire in us as he's being revealed about the truth of the church. He has to write it and explain to the church.
他告诉教会，这里是神的家。
He tells them that the church is God's household.
这里是神的国在地上的彰显。
This is God's kingdom revealed on earth.
天上的旨意，神的旨意通行无阻。
God's will in heaven is cannot be stopped.
在地上很多的拦阻，很多的抵挡。
But yet there are many challenges on earth.
怎么把天上神的旨意这种通行带到地上来呢？
How can we bring God's will from heaven to earth?
借着教会啊。
Through the church.
神要借着教会，借着我们今天的祷告，愿你的旨意行在地上，行在我们当中，如同行在天上一样。
So that through our prayers, that we pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
整个以弗所，保罗一会儿讲天上的事情。
Sometimes Paul talk about the things in heaven.
一下子把我们带到天上的宝座面前。
To bring us to the throne of God in heaven.
一会儿保罗又回到地上。
And then sometimes he will come back to earth.
你讲地上这些仇敌、这些魔鬼、这些势力的抵挡、人的败坏。
Talk about the enemies and the corruption of people.
中间那个连接的环节是在哪里呢？
And what is the middle connecting point?
怎么能够让神的心意在地上能够行出来呢？
How do we have God's will be revealed on earth?
保罗知道那个关键在哪里。
Paul knew the key.
弟兄姐妹。保罗也希望我们今天真的能够明白教会在整个神的心意当中那个地位，以前是奥秘，现在被显明出来的那个极宝贵的作用和地位。
And Paul wants the people to understand the mystery before now that the church, what kind of role does it play?
教会是圣殿。
A church is Christ's temple.
教会是基督的心腹。
And church is Christ's bride.
所以这一次我们就仔仔细细的啊，一个一个的来看啊，整个以弗所书里面所讲到的教会的奥秘、教会的真理。
And so we'll study very carefully each of these mysteries about the church.
求神能够改变我们的眼光。
So may God change our sight.
怎么看待教会？
How do we look at the church?
怎么看待我们自己的教会，马里兰福音教会？
How do we look at MGC?
神既然这么看重我们，我们也当用神的眼光来看重属于神的教会。
God has put such an emphasis on us that we also have to have the same emphasis on the church.
今天媒体的关注都不在教会身上。
Today, the media doesn't really pay attention to the church.
你看每天那个媒体上都在传什么？都是什么新闻才是头条新闻
？What kind of headline news do you see today?
啊，大选如何了？哪个政治人物有什么新闻出来了？经济如何？通货膨胀了？科技在发生什么？哈，都是这些事情。
We'll be looking at the politicians and the political climate, and as well as the economy and what kind of inflation is going on.
教会能上新闻的头条都是负面消息。
Anytime the church would appear in the news, they're negative.
今天大家注意哈 ，Fox News 的头条是什么
？Today's Fox News headline.
由他的一个爸爸抗议说，学校把圣经从教会的图书馆拿走。
There is a father who's protesting that the school has taken the Bible away from the library of the school.
因为有人反映说圣经里面讲的东西太暴力了。
Because somebody was saying that what the things that talked in the Bible is too violent.
要把从学校的图书馆当清除哈这种的书籍。
We need to remove these kind of books from the library of the schools.
大家有没有注意今天 CNN 的头条是什么
？What is CNN's headline news?
美国现在在美国啊，最危险的时间段之一是主日上午十一点，这是 CNN 的头条。
The most dangerous time in the week is really 11 o'clock on Sunday morning.
他讲的是很多教会遭枪击啊，在主日早晨的时候哈、啊，有这个枪手甚至拿着炸弹要去啊杀害这个基督徒。
It was talking about that at that time there will be people who would bring guns or bombs to church to harm people.
这是我们生活的这个时代。
And that's the generation we live in.
世界越来越仇视基督徒。
The world is gradually hating the Christians more and more.
神把我们放在这样一个时代。
God has put us in this generation.
放在这样一个地方。
To put us in this place.
放在这样一个不断的仇视增长的文化环境当中。
To put us in a culture that has negative feelings to the church.
就像保罗因为做基督徒因为做使徒而被关在监牢里一样。
And Paul, because he was an apostle, was shut in prison.
那我们当怎样啊让我们今天在里面的这个生命耶稣基督的旨意依然在这样一个时代当中能够成就出来呢
And how can we still accomplish the will of God in this generation?
这是保罗写这封信的目的。
And that is the purpose of why Paul wrote this letter.
这封信的目的啊，保罗用一句很简单的这个问候话哈、啊，就把它讲明白了。
And through a very simple greeting to the church, he explained the will of God.
那当然，后面他要不断的展开来讲到这句话到底是什么意思。
And of course, later on, he's going to gradually reveal what it means.
愿恩惠平安从神我们的父和主耶稣基督归于你们。
Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ.
这个世上的人都需要上帝的恩典。
Yeah, people on earth needs the grace of God.
这个世界上人都需要从神而来的真正的平安。
The people on earth needs the true peace from God.
怎么能够得到
？How do we get it?
这是保罗接下来要向我们传递的一个信息。
And that's the message that Paul will explain later on.
就是让神的恩惠和平安首先。住在他的教会当中，然后借着教会能够传播到这个世上。
So that the grace and peace of God will first reside in the church, and then from there on be spread to others.
但是主耶稣基督吩咐门徒出去的时候，也告诉他们到哪家你就先问他们的安。
And Jesus also explained to them as you go out that you have to send greetings to the home that you visited.
带着福音的信息走出去的时候，带着耶稣基督的差派出去的时候。进到他家里呢，就请他的安。那家若配得平安，你们所求的平安就必归到那家；若不配得，你们所求的平安仍归你们。
As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you.
神的意念是赐福的意念。
God's plan is to prosper us.
要借着他的使徒，借着他的教会，来释放上帝的恩惠。来自上帝的平安
is through the His apostles and his church to release the grace and peace.
所以我们讲啊，以弗所书的这次的主题啊，我们就围绕这个。以弗所书的主题是基督的教会。
So the theme of Ephesians is the Church of Christ.
那我们要明白啊，关于教会的真理，并且要根据这些教会的真理来仔仔细细的、用心的去建造属于神的马里兰福音教会。
We should understand the truth about the church and build up a church carefully according to the truth of God.
感谢主啊，在过去的五年，神真是使用我们这个教会，众弟兄姐妹、众同工哈，一起来建造。
God has been gracious to us, and in the past 5 years, used our brothers and sisters to build up the church.
每个星期、每次的聚会、每次的服事，我们当中这一批弟兄姐妹很忠心的摆上自己。
Every time, every Sunday, we have a group of very faithful brothers and sisters who've been serving.
每一天、每一次的服事，上帝都纪念。
Every time we serve Him, God remembers.
我们借着读以弗所书的这个信息呢，让我们一起来认定哈，重新再聚焦哈，按照神的心意建造教会这件事情上。
So as we read the book of Ephesians, let's refocus on how to build up the church.
那在我们当中也有一直在跟我们一起聚会的，但是好像有一点距离，好像还处在一种观望状态的弟兄姐妹。
And as we gather each time, there may be some who still kind of like attending as an observer.
希望这一次啊，我们大家能够一起重新出发。
And may this time is the time that we set out together.
时间有限呢。
Time is limited.
服事的机会有限呢。
There is limited opportunities to serve.
趁着我们还有机会的时候，不要再观望啊，加入进来，加入到这个服事的团队当中。
While we still have the opportunity, don't just observe, join in the team.
各种各样的机会都摆在我们面前，只要愿意，随时可以加入。
All kinds of opportunities are in front of us. Anytime you can join in.
首先从祷告开始。
Starting with prayers.
开始为教会祷告。
Starting to pray for the church.
开始为教会的弟兄姐妹祷告。
To pray for the brothers and sisters in church.
开始为前面征战服事的同工们代祷。
To pray for those who are fighting the front lines.
相信你这样接着祷告，神一定会引导你啊，带入进入这样一个服事的大家庭当中。
Through prayers, God will continue to lead us to join in.
在我们当中也有一些新来的一些的弟兄姐妹朋友们，我们也欢迎你们啊，加入到这样一个建造神喜悦教会的行列当中。
We have newcomers among us. We welcome you to join in into this team of serving God.
那我们报告了四阶的服事、三阶的服事，可能还有一些人不了解什么是四阶、三阶。
We've been reporting on stage 3 and stage 4 discipleship training, and some people may not still understand what it is.
那这个服事呢，是一对夫妇哈，这个陆克黄牧师和他的太太 Amy 师母哈，他们在厦门服事十几年当中呢，他们不断建造起来的一个训练门徒的一个系统。
This is a system being established by Luke and Amy as after serving Xiamen for more than 10 years.
那我们教会也借鉴他们的服事哈，使用在我们教会当中。
And we've been using what they've established and applied it at our church.
这七阶像七个台阶一样。
The seven stages is like seven steps.
那开始呢，是一些还没有信主的朋友们哈，我们去服事这些有需要的听到福音的朋友们。
And first, start with some non-believers, and we're just trying to serve them.
然后再上一步，哎，他们对福音开始感兴趣了，他们想更了解更多。
And the next step is they're starting to be interested in the gospel.
啊，靠着神的恩典，他听到福音，相信了，重生了啊，他就成了初信者。
And then through God's grace, and they believe and they become a new believer.
那不光是这个要相信，而且要跟随做主的门徒开始学习走路。
And so now, then they gradually become a follower to follow God.
那跟随主，跟随主的一个阶段要毕业的啊，学生总要毕业的，还要参与到服事当中。
And as they graduate, they become one who serves.
那服事者慢慢的成为可以栽培别人的人。
And as a follower, someone who serves, they become someone who nurtures.
然后呢，能够装备人，带领团队哈，组织各样的事工。
And then they can also become someone who equip others to follow as well.
这七个步骤，从一个人开始这个寻求神到最后啊，一点点的生命成熟成长啊，大概化成这七个阶段。
So they've divided the stages of how people as they begin or someone who doesn't even know God.
这里解释哈，每个阶段针对的不同的特点对象是谁。
And here it emphasizes what are the characteristics of the people that we're trying to focus on in each stage.
那这是一个很好的一个参照的系统哈。当然，这个门徒训练有各种各样的方式方法，但是呢，这给我们提供一个大概的一个方向哈，让我们的生命不断的一级一级的来建造起来。
This is a good framework that we can kind of use it to talk about what are some of the things that we can do in each stage.
以这个为参照来看一看我们过去五年所做的事情。
And using this as a framework, we can look at what we did in the past 5 years.
针对那些还没信主的人，我们这几年当中专心的去做幸福小组的工作。
And we've been using the happiness group for those who have not believed in Christ yet.
这成我们传福音的很好的一个平台。
It becomes a good platform for us to have evangelism.
幸福小组之后，我们马上开始这个受洗班，我们有一对一的陪读读圣经的这个服事。
And after that, then we've also given them baptism classes as well as to read the Bible with them.
就帮助这些慕道的人能够继续的认识主。
To help those people who are seekers to continue to know God.
然后三级四级哈，我们这一直在跟大家报告，是做初心造就门徒训练的工作。
And so for stage 3 and stage 4 is really discipleship for those people who just accepted Christ.
是帮助我们信主之后继续的生命的成长。
To help us to continue to grow after we have accepted Christ.
所以大家注意哈，这些的环节是互相补充的。
And we can see all these different stages trying to complement each other.
幸福小组不可能做所有的事情。
We cannot expect the happiness groups to do all of it.
慢慢的我们当中的同工哈，我们在服事当中也慢慢去有一些的焦点。产生
and then as we serve, we'll find certain focus areas.
比如有些同工是就是呀啊，专门来负责这个传福音的工作。
And then we'll find some coworkers who'll be focusing on evangelism.
那有些同工呢，专门负责这个栽培的工作。
And some will be focusing on in the nurturing.
那有些人呢，可能专门负责这个组织各项的服事训练同工哈，帮助同工继续在服事中成长的工作。
And then there are people who reorganizing serving opportunities.
因为我们教会是一个基督的身体。
Because we are a Christ body.
是互相连接、互相补充、配搭的一种的关系。
It's a relationship that we complement each other and we serve one another.
慢慢的哈，让我们这个教会的整体成为一个健康的身体。
So that gradually we become this healthy body.
当然我们还有一些的事工需要不断的被建立起来、补足上去。
And of course, we still have ministries that we need to continue to build and establish.
这样慢慢的，在我们的教会当中，弟兄姐妹，你对照这个期阶哈，你可以问一下，你现在生命的成长的阶段，差不多是在哪一阶
？As you look at this framework, you can kind of say, where am I in these stages?
那你问一下，你下一步要成长的方向应该在哪里
？And what is my next stage of growth?
当然，在厦门的时候，他们是从零开始哈，从这个一阶一直带到七阶。
And when they were in Salmon, they were starting from stage zero.
2020年因为疫情的缘故哈，这个宣教士必须撤离大陆，路克、Amy 也不在当地服事了。
And in 2020, because of the pandemic, and they all have to leave.
但是他们造就出来的这个装备者，继续不断的在厦门，在中国大陆服事各地的教会。
And yet, the equipper that they have trained will continue to serve and go to different churches in China.
我们不是从零开始的哈，我们借鉴这种的体系呢，来比较一下哈，我们在这里所做的事情。
As we compare ourselves against it, we didn't start from zero.
大家数一下，我们当中已经有的这个服事的团队已经很多了。
You can count and we can see there are many different ministry teams.
我们是边做边学边改进边成长。
We are doing it, learning it, changing it, improving it.
但是盼望弟兄姐妹哈。你看看在你的成长的过程当中你下一步的需要是什么成长的方向在哪里
And you think about it, what is my next stage that I need to go improve on?
那也盼望以后哈能够有新的人进到我们教会的时候呢他能够知道一个在这个教会所做的事情一个成长的一个方向。
So as newcomers join us, that they also should know the direction of their growth.
我们一起来建造。
Let's build together.
照着神的心意来建造
According to God's will.
因为我们知道我们可以很确定的知道我们是奉神的旨意在做这件事情
So that we know for sure that we are building according to His will.
我们是奉神的旨意在大华府这个地区来执行大使命
according to God's will, we are spreading the Great Commission in the Greater Washington.
我们是奉神的旨意，在这个教会当中来造就门徒。
According to God's will, we are nurturing and building up Christians.
我们是奉神的旨意，跟各地的教会有同样意向的这些教会和机构一起来同工，来成就神交给我们的大事。
And according to God's will, we are co-working with different churches to accomplish the Great Commission.
欢迎大家一起来加入。
We welcome everyone to join.
结尾的时候，我给大家讲一个故事。
To finish, I'll tell you a story.
这位姊妹呢，叫郑慧端。
This is a sister, 郑慧端。
她是跟这个王明道、林献高、袁向成，他们一个时期做传道的。
She was a minister in the same era as Wang Mingdao and others.
那比较起其他几位，她是比较年轻的。
She is relatively young compared to them.
1949年，她只有35岁。
She was 30 years old in 1949.
她就在1949年，这个中国大陆政权转换的时候，来到四川成都来服侍当时的大学生团契。
She went to Chengdu to serve the Christian Fellowship of the College right when the political situation changed in China.
他背后，他讲到的时候，背后贴着这个字啊，就是我们当中李长华长老写的。
The words that you see behind was written by our elder Steve Lee.
很忠心的，在1949年，大家都知道啊，中国大陆好像站在一个十字路口上。
We all knew that back in 1949, China was at this crossroad.
随之而来发生的事情，没有人能够预计到教会会遇到什么样的艰难。
Nobody could anticipate the difficulties the church would encounter subsequently.
有点像我们今天教会所面临的情况。
It's something like what we are facing today.
那后来大家知道哈，这一批的坚持信仰的这些的传道人、基督徒，后来一个一个的被抓、被判刑、被关在监牢里。
And we know that all these Christians would gradually, one by one, be arrested and imprisoned.
那1958年呢，郑慧端姊妹呢就在上海被捕。
In 1958, she was in Shanghai and arrested.
后来她写这本书哈，叫《奇异恩典》，是她的一个自传。
And then she later on wrote this book, Amazing Grace.
当中有一段，她在监牢里面为了坚持一件事，什么事呢？就是吃饭之前做谢饭祷告。
And when she was in prison, she insisted on doing one thing, was to say grace before meals.
她就在监牢里面被逼迫。
She was persecuted in prison.
因为她坚持公开的做谢饭祷告。
Because she continues to say grace publicly.
警告她，批评她，她也不听。
Even though people warned her, she didn't listen.
她最后就两个手被手铐反铐在背后40多天。
And then she was put into handcuffs behind her back for more than 40 days.
24小时每一天呢，几十天被反铐在那里。
For 24 hours a day, more than 40 days, she was handcuffed like that.
仅仅是为了坚持在吃饭之前做谢饭的祷告。
Just because she insisted on saying grace for her meals.
我给大家读一段他的见证，是在他被抓的时候发生的事情。
I want to read a paragraph of her testimony when she was arrested.
他是这样写的，他说，我走出那个弄堂的门口，穿过马路，见到一辆停在路口的小汽车。
And I exit the courtyard and enter the road and I saw a small car across the road.
哎呀，过马路的场景好熟悉。原来是几年前在成都时，主在梦中向我显现过的情景。
And that scene was very familiar, and I realized it was a dream that God has revealed to me back in Chengdu.
我心里立刻涌出一句话：“此乃命定之事。”我回答说：“父啊，是的，因为你的美意本是如此。
”And then a sentence came out in my mind that says, "It is decreed."And then I immediately my heart was filled by God.
随即我就上了车。
And then I enter into the car.
我一上车就被喜乐的灵充满，情不自禁的大声呼喊说：“哈利路亚，赞美主！”大声高唱：“十字架，十字架，永是我的荣耀，荣耀归主名，都归耶稣等。”这些歌曲从花山路一直唱到 南市车站的路，那是第一看守所所在的地方。
And then immediately my heart was filled with the spirit of joy, and I just burst out in singing, singing hallelujah to God, and all the hymns that I can think of, from one row to the destination row where the detainment center was.
公安人员对我说：“郑慧端，这是大马路，不要哇啦哇啦叫。”
And the security official said to me, "Zheng Hui Duan, don't just make all kinds of sound. This is a great thoroughfare."
但我无法控制自己，仍满怀喜乐地放声高唱，直到进到第一看守所。
And yet I could not control myself because of the spirit of joy, and then all I sang all the way until I entered the detainment center.
在那一个被抓、被关、被逼迫的环境当中，神在对谁讲话？
And God has been speaking even in these situations when someone is being arrested.
当那个整个的社会动荡，整个这个社会都发生大的变革的时期，神的眼睛关注在哪里？
And when the society is going through great upheavals, where was God's eyes on?
就像当初神借着他的使徒写信给那一小群不被社会关注的以弗所教会的人一样，在历史历代任何的时候，神的眼睛都在他的教会上面。
Just like God was paying attention to this group of Christians in Ephesus, and it's the same in all generations that God's eyes are on the church.
我们今天读的是以弗所前书，还有以弗所后书，哈，到启示录，神又借着这个使徒约翰再次写信给以弗所的教会。
And here we read, in a sense, the first book to Ephesians.And then later on in the book of Revelations, you see that God will continue to reveal to the church in Ephesus.
当启示录当中神再次写信给以弗所的时候，第一句话就说：“我知道，我知道，我知道。”
And then when he says, wrote in the book of Revelations, he said, "I know, I know."
主耶稣基督行走在金灯台当中的主。
Jesus is the God that walked among the golden lampstands.
你的忠心，你的劳苦。你的爱心的服事，神都知道。
God knows your faithfulness and toil and your serving in love.
在这里发生的每一件事情，神都看得清清楚楚。
Whatever everything you do here, God knows clearly.
每个时代都有这一批蒙神保守的活的见证人。
Every generation, there are these people that God has kept.
如今轮到我们了。
Now is our time.
我们当如何在这个时代当中去忠心地活出神的见证？
How do we serve him faithfully in this generation?
结尾的时候我们唱这首诗歌《活祭》。
To close, we sing this response song, Living Sacrifice.